This is Donnie
and Dana,
and we are back today. We're speaking about one of the success stories within our child protection system or our child protection organization. It's always amazing to share success stories, and we never actually get time to do that. So, Dana, do you have anything to say before I go? Because if I now start, I'm probably going to continue.
I know, then we're never going to get you to shut up. I get it. I'm joking. Something that I would like to share is that in this kind of line of work, you know, we are often faced with so many challenges and cases that come through our doors that we move at such a fast pace that, as Donnie mentioned, we don't often get the time to sit back and realize the impact that we have made or see the rewards of, not meaning like we are rewarded, but the internal reward of making a difference in someone's life, especially in the life of children. And it's so sad that because we have so much going on all the time and we are so busy, and when we say to people we are busy, we're not just saying we are busy because we are lazy or tired, or we are genuinely running at a speed. So for that reason, you know, it's unfortunate that we don't often get to speak about these success stories. Apologies. But I'm glad that now we do get that opportunity to share it on this platform. Over to you.
My turn again. That's great. So we got called on a case in 2023. We just opened up a hotline in Mauritius, and I still had Mauritius sand on my feet. And you went with one of our counselors to one of the schools to introduce the counselor to the school. And I got a phone call from one of the schools that said, listen, there's two little girls. Back then, they were 6 years old, 9 years old, and they were struggling to cope at school because of many reasons. On the one side, mom was an addict. She was using drugs. At the same time, mom went through financial difficulties, so she was staying in a car some evening, so the kids didn't have anywhere to go, any place to go to a toilet. So they had to wait until the next morning to be dropped off at school before they could use a toilet. And because of that, they obviously also didn't smell very good or very nice. They were dirty most of the time. So the school phoned and said they've had enough. By that time, a social worker was already involved for about 6 months without doing anything. Not going to get into too much of that in this podcast. And I went to the school and gathered all the information, had a listen to what was shared, what was done, what has not been done, and then I proceeded to assist by providing them with an attorney. In this instance, the biological dad, the paternal parent, had a mother, a grandmother then, in that instance, that was interested and open to take in these two kids. Mom was at that time living on her own, but because she didn't have a job and she was still abusing drugs and stuff, even though her father, the maternal grandfather, was quite wealthy, that didn't help the kids. And the maternal grandfather did not feel like he would be a good fit for the two youngsters because he was a little old and also did not want to become a full-time parent. I spoke to the biological father. In this instance, he stayed about 1,200 kilometers away from where the kids were staying. And his opinion was that he wasn't ready to look after them full time. He had to move away from the mom to stop his drug addiction. So spent probably about an hour and a half at the school, taking down the details, seeing where the Children's Act would protect these two kids, and then proceeded to speak to the dad and also the paternal grandmother and the attorney. The attorney then said there needs to be an urgent application, which was then filed at the Children's Court here in Pretoria, and the court felt that these kids were in need of care and protection. They were then removed from the mother's care, and they were placed with the paternal grandmother. The paternal grandmother was married and is still married to a gentleman who was not the real paternal grandfather, but he moved in when the father was still a very young boy. So he's always been there and plays a big role in their lives. He actually came to see us at the office. I remember that day you were quite teary-eyed because the grandfather, the person that was playing the grandfather role, was quite emotional when he came to share with us some of the things that those kids have gone through. You know, going days and so forth without eating, being exploited in different ways, and then also, obviously, drugs being freely available. The older child already repeated a grade, and she was very close to repeating grade 4 again. And the urgent application, we got what I think was in the best interest of the kids. They were placed with the paternal grandmother. And then we started having conversations with all of them so that we could provide, obviously, counseling to the kids. The mother did have contact rights, and she exercised that contact right sometimes at the maternal or the paternal grandmother's house. And slowly but surely, she wanted obviously more contact. She then one day pitched up at the school and removed the kids from the school setup to her house, which was against the court order. We then had to get she stayed in a complex, so we had to get the security firm that has the contract at the townhouse complex to open up the gates, then get the police to assist. We send the attorney there as well so that they could remove the kids without having mom locked up, keeping in mind that mom at that point in time was firstly not very healthy, obviously an addict, and then also emotional because she has lost her kids, and I cannot imagine that being easy for anyone. In that process, obviously stricter orders were set in place so that the mother would not again pick them up from a school, so she cannot pick them up from school at all at the moment. Then the two kids started adapting to life with grandmother and grandfather, obviously a stricter setup which took some getting used to. They were then also had strict eating times, and by strict eating times there was, you know, at least some rhythm to their day. There was a specific time they would eat, specific time they would read out of the Bible, specific time they had to do homework, and that created a new culture for these two kids. Then, probably about 6 months passed, only now and then they would check in and share how well these kids were doing. And then, last year, I was at a school, I was doing a strongman event, and they actually saw that on social media, and they came to say hi. And I was introduced, because we never get to see that. I got to meet these two little girls, and I got quite emotional. Got to see these two little kids. Both of them were now at exam writing age. They were both doing very well at school. And now that they had a solid foundation, and they had routine in place, and they were doing very well, both of them were very impressed that grandmother and grandfather knows me, because I used to speak at their school as well, which obviously made me feel good. And then they actually came to not only support and watch me pull a vehicle, they even got them to come and help me pull the vehicle, which was amazing. So that's just one of the many success stories we've got. So there's two little girls that were not smelling well, they were dirty most of the time, that were failing, that were hurt, they were broken, and they were unfortunately also put in positions where they were sometimes exploited.
Donnie, I wanted to ask you that question because we often get asked, you know, why should we report a child being abused or neglected? Is it important for us because they're just going to get removed from mom or dad, and isn't that going to cause trauma to them? What would you say to that? What is the process of when they remove a child?
Okay, so I think what's important in this instance, and thank you for the question, Dana, is it is so important to report that. If you do not report that, the kids stay in the circumstances and they get to adapt. It's kind of like a seagull that loses a foot, and it adapts to start living without that foot, and it learns how to adapt living without it, but it's not necessary. There's no need to learn how to have this off foot. So the most important thing is report so that the kids can be helped. The kids do not have to suffer the consequences of the choices that was made in this instance by a mother and a father. The father has changed and gone to sort out his life, but he wasn't in a position to look after them. Luckily for these two youngsters, there was a grandmother and a grandfather figure who was not only prepared to look after them, but to change their entire lives so that they can have the best possible life. And that's important. So how does the process work? Make contact with us. So I'm going to share with you our national child protection number, and Dana will again share our counseling number at the end. So our national number is 076-900-7151. So that's our child protection number. That's the number that you can reach us on and report anything. Remember, these kids deserve to have a good life. This one success story of two happy kids that are now doing well at school, that now have friends, that have parties, that are just happy little human beings, makes our job worth it. Dana, but now that they've been removed, they're going to need to speak to somebody. What's our counseling hotline number?
I definitely agree with you that when a child is removed from their normal lifestyle, whether that be a toxic lifestyle or a healthy lifestyle, that is their norm. That is what that's all they've gotten to know throughout life. They can even get used to horrific conditions that are cruel for them to stay in. But for them, at the end of the day, that's home. That's their mom. That's their dad. So when they are removed, sometimes in the beginning, they don't understand what is going on and that this is for their best interests. They feel hatred towards other people that have removed them. They feel disorientated, disorganized. They feel lost. So they do need a little bit of help and support along the way to readjust into their new lifestyle, habits and surroundings, and obviously to get used to their new caretakers as well. So those kids or anyone in general can contact us on our counseling hotline. That number is 076-037-6345. 076-037-6345. And they can reach out or anyone for assistance in terms of counseling, or just, as Donnie mentioned, for child protection as well.